pray for us, and then I want us to look at some scripture together with just some questions. So let's pray. Father, this morning, just want to tell you we love you and we honor you. Lord, we are blessed to be in the body. We're blessed to be a part of the body. And Lord, we're blessed through the body. Lord, during this brief time together this day, speak to us, speak through us. But Lord, help us to take ownership in what you're stirring in our hearts, Lord. So we honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, kind of the title is the condition of your heart. And John, you go ahead and put the first scripture up there. We're looking at the parable of the sower. And I want to read through this scripture and then talk to you about a couple of things. Then I have some questions for us to discuss. One of the things I want to share with you, honestly, at the beginning is I've always kind of read this parable more as an evangelistic kind of parable. I admit that. But about a month ago or so, I was just sitting around kind of daydreaming. Wasn't reading this parable, but I got to thinking about this parable. And it was as if God said, "Dang, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. This parable isn't just evangelistic. It's for believers too, current Christ followers." And so that'll hopefully make a little bit more sense in just a moment as we look at some of the questions at the end. There's about three slides worth of scripture. So I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to go ahead and pull it open if it's electronic or the old school leather bound version, just because you might want to reference some of it back and forth, because there's no way to put it all on one slide. So I'm going to read it to us, and then John's going to put up some questions and see what God says to you this morning through this. Because it's probably one of those parables by us in this room. Some of you have read this, heard sermons on it, well into double digits by now. I mean, it's an easily quoted scripture. It's an easily preached scripture. Devotions use it a lot. So probably some of us are approaching triple digits, number of times we've read it or been a part of it. So not you, Anthony. You're the young guy here. So, but you're getting there. So it says in Matthew, Jesus says that that same day Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Then Jesus, a little bit later, go ahead, John, a little bit later, has an opportunity to explain it to the disciples. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. So if you hear it, you don't understand it, it can be easily snatched. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Another quality, rocky, we get excited, mountaintop experience, we're good to go, something happens. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So you have the word, but nothing really comes of it. Okay? And the last one, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. An abundant harvest. Something comes of what God is doing in that person's heart. So this morning, here are the questions. First of all, let's remind ourselves. I did give you this part to remind you. The places the seed fell was simply this. The path, rocky places, among thorns, and then the good soil. And then I listed all, this is all the questions. I'm not going to bother bringing them in one time because there might be one that stimulates you a little bit more than the others. What does the harvest of each place the seed fell produce? So what becomes of the seed that fell on each of those places? How can the soil change over time? Remember, he didn't say the soil was going to stay the same. Okay? Matter of fact, I read one commentary about this parable that I never really thought about. And one commentator on this parable said that Jesus is actually talking about the same soil where the seed was landing, not different ones, but the same soil or the same heart, and how it could be different in different places over different times. So how can the seed change over, or the soil change over time? How does good soil become one of the other three? And how can each of us know where our own heart condition or where the seed falls? Evaluating our own heart. Are we honest about where we are? Are we right now a little rocky? Are we the path that has nothing and we just hear it and it's gone away immediately? Are we living in the thorns, or do we have good soil? And the last one, how does God help the soil become good soil again? So, and you can add any version of that question, those questions you want, you know that. Or the blanket statement is there part of that scripture that just stands out to you? And or do you have a question about any of that scripture today? So there it is. I've set the table. Let's share. So what you got? Also, I'd encourage you to think about over the course of your own personal life. Probably had some moments when some awesome seed was being spread upon your heart. Then you may have asked a question as time went by. What happened? I think here's a phrase a lot of Christians use today is, there was a time in my life when I really felt close to God, but now I don't. What happened? That's kind of what I'm getting us to look at this morning is the what happened and where are you and where are you going right now? Well, I think what you said, there's always something growing, Jay. That's one of the reasons why I put the first question, what does the harvest of each place the seed fell produce? Because even the path that was hard, where the seed fell and the birds came away and snatched it immediately, I want you to think about somebody that God says had a hard heart, Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's hardness still produced something. Well, I think that's the reason why I put, how does the good soil become one of the other three? So think about it in our own lives as Christians, when things happen that aren't good, someone hurts us, but we hang on to unforgiveness. We decide we want to become bitter. How do even good things change the soil? For instance, are we a good steward of a blessing? Or does it make us want more? And like you said, not him, but it actually makes us want more of something that's not him. So that affects the, because one of the things that came to mind when you were talking, Jay, is the environment of all of these. And I think too that good soil doesn't stay good soil, just let it lie there. You were talking about rotating the crops on a practical, talking about fertilizing and watering and that sort of thing. Think about this for a second. This doesn't just happen on its own. Both ways, maintaining good soil, and then what happens if it's not good soil? Just throwing those things out. I think something that you were alluding to, Russell, is and I didn't put this question on the list, is how do we impact other soil? I don't know that we give that much thought at times. Just, when we talk about praying for other people, we're impacting their soil. And then they're watching to see what we're like. And how we are. When Beverly, we're looking at the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. So I said earlier, it is a form of work, effort, intention, intentionality, I think, with all this. Because one of the things about it is if you notice about in the parable, is the farmer, using Jesus' term, the farmer didn't say he tried to hit good soil. What I picture is those fertilizer things? In my mind, that's just the way, because it helps me understand it. I'm fertilizing my yard, and some of it does fall on the driveway. some of it does fall on places that you're talking about the weeds. The weeds, which is ironic, because then I go back and I try to get rid of the weeds. Point being is the farmer was just spreading the seeds, and there's a lot that goes on with this. And that's one of the things I think that God is saying to us this morning is. Do you honestly evaluate your own heart condition very often? Do you honestly ever, your spiritual heart, do you ever take real spiritual inventory of where your heart is? Or is it sometimes you have to go from good soil and then you realize the emptiness, the dryness, or maybe you realize that you're so worried about other things that you realize, man, there's a lot of thorns right now. There's a lot of thorns. Got to do some weeding. And I can tell you from all of us from experience, that weeding is not much fun. Well, it's just not. I got this aggravating thorn thing that grows in my bushes out front, and I can never find, this is the truth. For years, I've tried to find the root. And I'm in there digging in my holly bushes, which, you know, they're pointed. And I put these special gloves on so they won't hurt me, because these other, I've never been able to find the root. I have yanked out literally 25 feet of the vine, but I cannot find the root. That may sound easy, but it's not. So it's an aggravation at times. So is it easier just to stay? I'm just asking you to think about it. Is it easier sometimes just to stay wherever we are versus working towards the good soil? One of the reasons why I asked you the last question is, how does God help the soil become good soil again? Just something to think about. Smiles and laughter seem to always be uplifting, don't they? Smiles and laughter always seem to be uplifting. What else? No, you can go back or go forward one. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to read the whole thing, and I want to point out a couple of things to you. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the words of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears it, understands it, and produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Very important principle here. Jesus in his parable says there's only one soil that produces a harvest, and that's the good soil. Now, I need you to stick with me on this for just a second. We're talking about a heart, spiritually speaking, okay? When God made Adam and Eve, y'all remember that it says when he made Adam and Eve, he looked at them and he said, they're very good. The only time he used the word very, everything else was just good. This is very good. Here's the correlation I'm asking you to think about. When he made Adam and Eve at that point, they were perfect or whole, right? Okay. There was no blemish, no defect. There was no thorns, rockiness, no cracks, no crevices, perfection. Okay. I believe that one of the reasons why Jesus tells this parable is this. He's saying, I want you whole. My intention from the beginning was that you be whole. And I am longing that you be whole again. And that those other areas are not wholeness. They're brokenness. And while I believe, I understand what all of you are saying, I'm trying to tell you today that God is asking us through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe more than ever, to not settle for less than wholeness. Jesus could have said any of those other things could do this, this, and this. But all he says is if you want to produce something that is good, it has to come from goodness. But not good as in I'm a good person, but think of it as in a wholeness. So when I ask you that last, go back to the questions, John, please. So I believe, how does God help the soil become good soil again? All the things that all of us know to do, if we're not doing them, then God is not able to move us towards a wholeness. How is God able to break your heart over the lost if you're so choked down with the world's concerns and worries, then you won't care about anybody else except yourself or maybe those closest to you? If your heart is the path, what I tell you, God said, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. What did he produce? Well, he produced a lot of misery for a lot of people, okay, including himself, right? All right? So think about this for just a second. How important is this? But you're right, Anthony. I agree. It is when you begin at an early age, the constant maintaining. But I'm telling you right now, God is asking us to not settle for less than wholeness. I'm not telling you it's always easy, and I'm not even telling you it's always fun. But I want you to know that whatever God is speaking to you about today, I believe part of it has to do with, is your heart whole? Because then you can produce a fruit of righteousness and godliness. Think about something for just a second. If your heart is, let's say it has thorns, and you're working out of a fear, you're fearful of things. Russell, your example was money. If we're always fearful of not having enough money, then when God says, hey, so-and-so needs you to pay that electric bill, or so-and-so needs you to give money for a mission trip, then we're working out of an unwholeness, a fear that says, but God, I don't have it. Instead of saying, wait a second, God told me to do something. I'm not going to worry about what the number says in the bank account. I'm just going to be obedient. See the difference? Do you see the difference? That if you're working out of unwholeness, working out of rockiness or thorns or the hardness of heart, then when God is speaking to us, then we're always starting to weigh out of our unwholeness instead of our wholeness. And God desires for us to be whole because He created us whole. Remember this. It says in Scripture, when Jesus, I'm talking about when Jesus comes back and reclaims, it says, the creation has been groaning since the beginning of time. You know what that means? That means the creation is not whole, and it is waiting to be restored. Now think about that for a second. I can't grasp it. Maybe you guys can. The creation, the world, the planet Earth, and everything God created desires to be whole. Do we desire to be whole, though? So when people talk to you about forgiveness or unforgiveness or love, I could tell you so many stories from just this year's camp. When I see those kids at camp, one of the things that hurts my heart is I know them so well, I already know what their soil is like. And a lot of them, it's not good, and they're young. The high schoolers, I can tell you too many stories. I already know they're struggling with the first three. They're struggling with hard-heartedness. They're struggling with families that they struggle with loving their parents. So what happens to them if wholeness doesn't happen and they go and they get married? And they go and they get a job. What kind of employee are they going to make? What kind of husband or wife are they going to make? What kind of father or dad are they going to make? Because their soil is more like the first three instead of the last one. So one of the things I'm challenging us with today is what's at stake? Can't overstate it. So I'd encourage you to think about something. Your heart, how you're maintaining it, how you're working it, and what God has been doing in your life and been using in your life to get you to the good soil. Because that's what we long for. How many times in this course of your life, because all of us have been on this earth for many decades by this point, Anthony's even got a few decades under his belt, okay? Got three and some change. You got three and some change, man. Come on, don't hurt us too bad. It's this. How many times have you used some words like this or had some kind of thought like this? I wish I could be closer to so-and-so. I wish I had a better relationship with so-and-so. And I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about individuals. Your analogy of when you're talking about things coming in with people, okay? Guys, somebody's got to start with the wholeness. Somebody's got to start with the wholeness. And we are longing to return to that garden wholeness. I promise you we are. I promise you we are. So I just want to point that out to you, that Jesus ties something back with a parable about farming that actually applies to the garden. Very good, he called us. And good soil produces righteous harvest, and it even multiplies. Yeah. Think about if I could just the 30, whatever the 30 would represent, 30 people I share Christ with, 30 people I disciple to see produce more, whatever the 30, just the 30, how powerful impact it could have on our world. So more thoughts, questions? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the things you've given us revelation about. Father, I thank you for your truth and your love and your longing to restore and heal. But Lord, maybe the greatest privilege is your longing to use us. I thank you for that. And Lord, may we recognize it as a privilege and a blessing. Lord, I do pray for our own personal hearts to be whole and to be holy. Lord, you long for that, you desire that, but you also command it to be holy as you are holy, Father. Lord, I pray that we would look unto you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.